business colleagues, this is difficult because they've taken up your burden at work usually for a certain period of time. And they want to know that when you get back, you're going to be exactly in top form to keep it going the way you were before this happened. And that's not going to happen. And your boss is frustrated because he wants to keep you on the payroll and he wants to keep you at the level of salary that you were before, but now you're not capable. And so there's this thing that goes on at you know, in offices where, how do I juggle doing what I did before when I can't hardly, I'm just getting myself out of bed and getting to that job and trying to act like I'm okay. And meanwhile, somebody says the wrong thing to you and you're in a bucket of tears. And your boss comes over to you and says, you really need to go to a psychiatrist. Thank you. Such a realization. And this is what happened with me and many other people who have, you know, told me this. Because you have a lot of frustration and a lot of anger, and as I said, there's no place to let it out. So somebody says the wrong thing to you and it pops right out. And those buckets of tears come a long time. And you never know when they're going to pop out. And it's annoying. It's annoying at work because you're trying your darndest to stay in control and to be, you know, the way you were before, and you can't get there. And there comes a point where you recognize, I surrender. I'm never going to be the way I was before. I can't make excuses for it anymore. And if they don't like me, tough. I can't be who I was. I am not the person I was before. And I can't worry about trying to make them feel comfortable anymore because it's too much energy to do that. I'd like to just talk briefly again about support groups, counseling, and maybe even how to choose a counselor. It's very difficult, as I mentioned in the beginning, to find a counselor who is definitely a counselor who has gone through the homicide of a loved one. That would be the ultimate. But there aren't very many of them around, not that I've ever met. I know of one PhD and one MD psychiatrist who were in that profession before there. One had a daughter, one had a wife who was murdered. And even they tell me there's no one in all of their colleagues who are PhDs or MDs who are psychiatrists, none of them came to ask how they were doing. And I always thought that that was amazing. That they uncovered that, you know, that they mentioned that at conferences I've been to. That you would think that the most caring, compassionate, that's their job, that's their field, and they don't even come. And because they're afraid I'm going to catch this, and I don't want to catch this. This is too frightening to catch. Let's look just basically at some of the things that can be done as far as helping people to get to, like, memorials and things like that. In the community, a lot of times people try to do something where their child or their loved one's name is going to be there forever. They don't want people to forget that they've gone through this, and they don't want people to forget that their child or their loved one was murdered. That's a big thing for families who have gone through this. They want to see their child's name somewhere. And oftentimes, especially in the first few years, they describe themselves. They are now a parent of a murdered child. They are now a sibling of this is their existence. This is who they label themselves as. And it takes many years to kind of let that being move to the side, and now you are Mary again. And that struggle from the place of being that label to the place of now I'm just me. And yes, this happened in my life. And yes, it affected everything I am today. But I'm going to move forward now. And I'm okay with that. It takes years. It doesn't take months. It takes years. So people who try to set you on a course that they're accustomed to with other types of grief is a very difficult balancing act because they only know maybe you know, a child who died of leukemia, or maybe they only know a child who was run over by a truck or an accident or some other kind of illness, or they know, you know, the father died of a stroke. That's what they know. So they and that's what they've really been trained for. So when you come to this kind of a situation where the criminal justice system is so intertwined in all of this, and it sets you back in and out, and you never are on a clear path toward recovering, they feel so uncomfortable, and it's difficult. It's very difficult to feel comfortable with listening to this kind of pain on a regular basis. There is no doubt about it. So what I would recommend, if this is an area that you feel as a counselor that you might like to learn more about and get more involved with, is go to a local homicide support group. Take a couple of, you know, evenings to be with those families and listen to the kind of pain that they speak of. Go and meet the person who's your victim witness counselor in your community. They may be, as I said, DA or the sheriff's office. They may be in the police department. Go and sit and meet with them. Talk to them. Learn what they know. And then it'll help you to acclimate yourself into this extraordinary area of grief. Let them teach you what they know, you know, what they know and how they do what they do. As far as helping other people, I try to help the families who have gone through this after me in such a way that I make them help others who come after them. And I do that intentionally because I'll say to a mother, I want you to call up this new mom. She had a very similar circumstance as you. She also lost her son. He was also a teenager. I want you to call her. And she'll say to me, I can't do that. And I'll say, yes, you can, and you will. And she'll say to me, oh, Mary, don't make me do this. I can't do it. I know I can't do this. And I'll say, Beth, do it. You're going to see how far you have come when you get off that phone. And they do, and they call me back 2 hours later, because the initial phone call is a two-hour call, because people want to tell you every little detail about the case, about what's going on. And Beth will call me back and say, I can't believe this. I can't believe. I knew all this. I knew what to tell her. I knew how to handle it. And I said, look at how far you have come. You know, and just that healing, just that twist of healing has really helped a lot of families to move on, to move forward, because they can see right then and there how far they've come along. Thank you so much.